Page Chavzayin Ois Yud Beis, in the section of the Sefer dealing with Amuna and how to strengthen our Amuna in a very, very practical way. As I said, we're learning very simple things, but simple things that could change our lives in a very dramatic way. So on page Chavzayin, we're up to Ois Yud Beis. But the Tzaddik here is teaching us or giving us basic guidelines of how to make our lives filled with Emunah, to change our lives. That Emunah should not be something which is just theoretical or theological, but it should be something which is very practical and something which we live with and affects us all the time. Memela, the result of that will be in all areas of life. Let's continue on page Chav Zayin Ayis Yud Beis. Zut Suras Chayev Shal Yehudi Hamamin. This is the structure, this is the nature of the life of a Jew who's a Mamon, which is almost a forgotten thing. What does it mean, a Mamon? A Mamon is not something that is just intellectual, that a person believes, but how does a Mamon live? B'chol yom b'chol shah, hemunah kvua b'lev. Every day, in every hour of the day, he lives with that Amunah. The Amunah is fixed in the heart. And he gives examples, very, very simple and practical examples that we could try to work on. When a person has to go to a doctor, before the person goes into the doctor, he should say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, these are just examples, suggestions of how to develop a rapport. I meant to say that it should be taka, the shiur should be a schus for shlema for Tehila Malka B'Zrachel Fegish B'Sav Shachal Yisrael. That when a person goes to the doctor, before going into the doctor, Medabrim HaRabban Yishlom, a person speaks to the Rabban Yishlom and says, Ani Yedeh Sharak Ata Yochal L'Rapay Saisi. Not just to think that, but to actually say that. To quietly say to Hashem is Baruch, I'm going in, or going into, or sitting in the waiting room, whatever it might be, that a person should say, I know that only you can cure me. Hashem, only you can cure me. And the truth is, the only reason I'm going to the doctor is because you and your Torah have given rishus, you've given permission to us, you've given us permission that we should make this ishtadlis to go to a doctor. The truth is, if we'd be on the highest level, like the Ramban says, the Ramban writes, what place does a person who trusts in Hashem, what place does he have in with a doctor? He has no place with a doctor. The Ramban himself is a doctor. But what place does a mam and a batech have with a doctor? In other words, there is a madrega of Amuna, which already the tzaddikim have told us that we're not on anymore in our generation. Maybe they're extraordinary, extraordinary people. Even Rabbi Nachman Schussa Gimelena, whose whole life was against doctors and spoke very strongly against medicine and doctors and believe very much in tefillah and natural cures. At the end of his life, I mean, he died when he was 38 of tuberculosis, and his family and his chassidim basically forced him to go to a doctor, and he acquiesced in the end to go to a doctor, which didn't help. But we're not on such a madrega. The Torah has given us rishus. The Torah has told us that we're allowed to go to doctors, and doctors have permission to heal. But afal pichein, I mean, as we learned from the pasuk v'rapay yirapay mekanshin nevishus l'rayf l'rapayist, the Torah gave permission to go to a doctor and gave permission for doctors to be metapel to take care of their patients. Permission. Nowadays, the question we're not going to go into in halach is a person allowed to say, "I don't want to go to the doctor. I refuse medicine. I trust only in Hashem." That's a discussion in the poskim. It's not for now. But when a person goes to the doctor, he should say, "Ulam ani zeicher," even though you've given me permission to engage in this type of hishtadlis, in this type of an effort, I remember, Sharak at merapi, I see, that you're the only one that heals me. Vaf lay echad acher, and nobody else. Vehein ba'imdo b'fnei harofe, and when you're standing in front of the doctor, yachshev b'liba, you should think, Rabban Shalom rak at merapi, I see, and to repeat this. Even though maybe then it wouldn't be polite to say it out loud, but you could certainly think that and maybe even whisper it, that Rabban Shalom rak at merapi, I see. And everybody knows that there's, with going to a doctor, there can often be humiliation and all different types of emotions, fear and humiliation and so on, going to a doctor. And when a person raises that to a different madrega by saying these kind of words and having these kind of thoughts, it will help in all levels to make that much less unpleasant. Rabban Shalom Rak Atim Rapa, you see, only you heal me. By Raifei Eina Ela Ulai Hashliach Shachal Rapa, you see, and the doctor at best is a shliach, is a messenger that you've sent to help me. B'chein B'chol Dover B'chein. That's an example with a doctor. Now listen to this. To something which is seems to be very, very simple. And one might think that it's not, why should I be chalal davim with these things? But look, Adam halach l'knei shulchan labayis. A person goes to buy a table for his house. I'm sure the author of this sefer could never imagine the kind of tables that we're buying in Chutz La'aretz, and what he means by a table someplace in some little... in the back of some shop in Geula is not the same as the tables that are being bought here. But if a person is going to buy a table for the house, like kind of shulchan lavad, you don't go by yourself to buy a table. Holchim imai Rabbein Shalom. Yeah, this was such a simple thing. You go together with the Rabbein Shalom. Umadabra mimai, and you say to him, Rabbein Shalom, ani nearly shani tzor shulchan labais. Rabbein Shalom, it seems to me that I need a table for the house. Herali heichan hagun v'roi she'ekne. Show me a good place where I can go to buy the table. V'harali eize shulchan hagen she'ekne. And show me a good table that I should be able to buy. From Eilam v'nefesh hirhurim shal charata, lachash akrakano mizchari shal ikon shulchan ache v'chadayma. So you bought a table, and now afterwards, as will often happen, you have charata. You say, oh, you know, you see another catalog, or you're in somebody else's house and you saw a table that looks better, and you have chalisis hadas that I bought that table, right? Yamid v'idam Rabbi Nishlam. Then you can continue to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yaymila, and say to him, you could say the following, halachti l'knei shulchan. No, I went to buy a table. U'bakashti mimcha shetarali ma'liknais. And not only that, I went together with you to buy the table, and I asked you to show me the table to the right place, and where to go, and what to get. Va'ata ani margish charata b'meshekanisi. And now I have charata, I regret, I feel inside of me a suffix, a doubt whether I bought the right table. And you know that even though it seems like a silly thing, it could eat your kishkas out. These kind of thoughts can eat your kishkas out. Aval ani yadeya, however I know, shirikshayis elu, that these feelings, now you might want to argue with this, but listen to what he says. I know that these feelings that I have now of doubt and regret, they're not correct and they're not true. Because I davened and I went with you to buy the table, and this was your ratzon she'ekne shulchan zeh, that I buy that table. And if you brought that to me, in other words, if take, I ended up thinking for this, whatever, and going to this place and come and buying that table, and when I was there, there was a metzias chayin that table had in my eyes, and so on. Kach retzaincha. That means that I fulfilled your will. V'rikshes elu, therefore the emotions that I'm having now, the doubts and the regret that I'm having now, hem neged he'emunah, are opposed to the belief that I have in you. Ana, therefore I ask you, please, chazek bi'es emunah b'cha, strengthen my emunah in you. Shlo ahara neged emunah, that I shouldn't have these thoughts in opposition or that can conflict with my emunah. V'kach yarech b'diburo, when a person can say this and repeat these things over and over, and if you do, ara sheyargish, until you feel. Sharig sheish, shalcheser emunah shaktu. Till you feel that these thoughts of that demonstrate a lack in emunah, until they've quieted down, shaktu. Now, how this would play itself out in a practical way, like, you know, if you come back and let's say you bought a table that's big enough for 12 chais, and then you have your friends saying, what are you, happy? You're crazy? How do you do such a thing? You're going to have to make a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, and you're going to need to have a table for 20, and what's the matter with you, and how could you have done that? So how it plays itself out, what he's saying is that if a person does something lechatchila, when you went originally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bar the table, and you went with a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should be the right table, and then there was a Metzias Chain, and the thought came into your head when you were in the store, ah, thus is thus, I like this table, this is a table. When it was together with Emuna, the purchase, and it was together with tefillah, not just on your own, you didn't go by yourself or with a friend, but you went with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was with a tefillah. So what he's saying is that one should understand that the reason that table at that time had a Metzias Chain to you, that it was behind, that you said, oh, that's the table I'm looking for, it's a nice table, that's the one I'm looking for, it's because Hashem Yisbarach answered your tefillah. Davening is not stam. It's because Hashem Yisbarach answered the tefillah, and his rutzen was that this is the table that you should have. And therefore, if in retrospect, like we often do in life, you make yourself meshuggah because of all kinds of things, or what people tell you, or what you see, or what you thought you saw in another book or something, all of that, he says, is keneged the emunah, in the reality of your tefillah, and you have to repeat afterwards, Rabbi Shalom, strengthen me, strengthen my emunah, that I shouldn't have these thoughts. And he says, if you keep on doing that, and you daven for that, then you will find that these conflicting emotions and second thoughts and doubts will quiet down. V'chein, in mechakel autobus, or if you're waiting for a bus, v'autobus cholaf v'avalei alpanov. I remember once, my wife and I, when we were first married, we lived in Eretz Yisrael. That time we were in Tveria. I don't know if you remember this. And we had to get a bus back to Yerushalayim. And we were the first or second online. You know, you have those metal bars, and we were waiting, and the bus to Yerushalayim was maybe once an hour or something like that, and we were the first ones to go. And it was 110 degrees, and it was a very hard day. And we were the first ones to be online. And we couldn't get onto the bus in the end, because there was a mob scene. When the bus came, we were in a very American way, we were going to go and pay, and it didn't work out. It was just, all of a sudden, there were like 100 people and 10 goats and all kinds of stuff going on, and we couldn't get on. We were screaming, you know, pushing to try to get on. So one of the frustrating things in a person's life is when you're waiting for a bus, and the bus, this is an HSL Dikimaisa Kiseida. I mean, here too, I remember having that, you know, coming back from school and waiting for a bus and chalishing to get home and, you know, to have something to eat, to see mommy, the whole thing, and then like the bus is full, and you know, they just don't like the way you look, and they pass by. I mean, we had Kiseida growing up. I remember my mother calling the bus. I mean, they were anti-Semites. They would see kids with the yarmulke, and they would see us with the yarmulkes from the yeshiva, and the bus was half empty, and they would just, the guy would look and would just drive past us. So the person's waiting for a bus, and chalaf avalei aponav, and the bus just passed you, just went right past you. And of course, you have many reasons why you had to get onto that bus, and you had to be at a certain place. Yamtin v'yaymer. So you try to quiet yourself down and to say. And these are not chas v'shalom gimmicks or tricks. This is the life of a ma'amin. This is the way that ma'aminim live. Yamtin v'yaymer, you should say like this. Rabbanu shel master of the world. An yedei sha'ata sisa zayis sha'otobus yisa. I know you did this, that you wanted the bus to go. The kachvet zaincha, and that's your rotzen. Vimloy margish kein mamish. In other words, let's say you're saying the words, but you don't really feel it. Inside of you, you're very upset. As you say the right words, the words are, Rabbi Shalom, if that bus passed by, it means that it was your rotzen that I not go on that bus. So what happens if you say that, and lamargish kein mamish, but you don't really feel it? Then share that feeling that you have with Hashem also. And tell him what? I just said something to you, but in my heart, I have to admit, I don't really feel so comfortable with that. I don't feel that what I'm saying is 100% emes. I'm having a problem, because I'm still very upset or very annoyed and so on. Kach sarach lichyos kol hazman. This is how a person must live all of the time. Tefillas before, when you go someplace, that you should go to do something with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and tefillas afterwards, thanking Hashem Yisbarach, and if the bus came, how many times it happens that it does work out, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to say that I believe that you are mazmin me this opportunity, you brought this opportunity to me, and if it doesn't work out, to say that it's your Ratzon Hashem, that it not work out. This is how a person should live all of the time. Anything in life that you have to do, any encounter, first you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You go for an interview for a job or whatever it might be, so you first talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, I know that this depends completely upon you. And if you know this only in your mind intellectually, but in your heart you feel a little bit the opposite of that, that it really is not up to Hashem, but it's up to many other conditions and how I appear and so on and so forth, then you should say that as well. And say what? In my mind, intellectually, I know that you're the balabas, I know that it's up to you, and whether I succeed in this interview or I don't succeed, it's completely up to you. Ubelev magish kach, but my problem is that my heart doesn't feel that way. There's still many, many people, many men, when they go for interviews, that it's a huge question every time. I know I've had this discussion with many of the chevra in shul about wearing a yarmulke to the interview or not. Wearing a yarmulke to the interview, and then the whole funny thing, like then when you get the job, how are you now going to explain that you're wearing a yarmulke, and how are you now going to explain that you have to leave, Friday in January, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. How are you going to explain that? So that you went lechatchila without a yarmulke, because how are they going to look at you if you're wearing a yarmulke and so on? And my philosophy is, I always say that it's mutar. I didn't say it's usa to take off the yarmulke. It's not usa to go without the yarmulke on. But I always strongly recommend it that they go without the moon. And I know it's easy. I never went for any interviews like that. I don't really go to the city or any of these things, but. But I don't believe that it's shaykh, that because of that a person shouldn't be in the place where Hashem wants him to be. It can't be such a thing. And a person has to strengthen his emunah, ubelev margish kach, and he should daven ona azorli lahargish es ha'emes. Please, Rabbi Shalom, help me to feel the truth. Azorli lahargish es ha'emes. Tzarech liklait es hanakuda. One has to absorb this nakuda. He says, I'm just giving you examples, but this is a nakuda. This point is one that we have to make part of our lives. Hadugmos mishtanim yom liyom. Obviously, the situations change from day to day. May adam l'adam, and each person in his own life has many different situations. Im kultim es hanakuda be'etzem. If, however, you're able to absorb this nakuda, the essence of this nakuda, of this point that I'm making now, and you live with this nakuda of emuna the entire day, it will not make any difference at all what your particular circumstances are and what your life involves. It won't make any difference at all if you live with this nakuda. By being attached to this way of life and this nakuda, you will reach very, very high madregas in emunah. And simcha, as we'll talk about afterwards, mitzvah Hashem, coming up in Ayis Yadal. Ve'hiskashvus chazak l'Rabbanu Shalom, and you will develop a very strong relationship with Rabbanu Shalom. Yud Gimel. Rak mikoyach emunah amitis. Only with the strength of true emunah, efshel agil simcha. So he begins to talk about it. Only with this type of emunah can a person reach real simcha, real joy. Hasimcha nishlelos min ha'adam kashu chash chasa. Listen carefully. This is such an important yisayt. Everybody wants simcha. Hasimcha nishlelos min ha'adam. Simcha remains far away from a person. It's impossible to achieve simcha. A person doesn't feel simcha. Kashu chash chasa. What takes the simcha away from a person? When somebody feels that there's something that's missing. There's something that I should have and I don't have it. So as a result of that feeling of deficiency, of lack, a person can't feel simcha. A person can't feel simcha. And this could be from the simplest thing to something very, very important, like a zivug, for instance, something like a zivug. Well, I'm sure that all of you have met individuals who will say, and nobody has any taina, and nobody could ever blame a person for feeling this way, but a person who has been waiting a long time for a zivug, I don't mean, you know, girls that are upset because they've already hit 20 and they don't know what's happening and why their mothers are so relaxed about taking care of their lives. I'm talking about young ladies who have waited for many, many years and things are not working out, especially many balas shuva, as you all know, and they don't see a zivug. So a person in that state, when a person feels, and I've had many of these young ladies have said to me, I gave up everything in my life to be firm, to be religious, and I want, all I want in life is to have a religious home and to have Shabbos and to have Zmirs and to raise Yiddish kinder, Jewish children, and I don't understand. And you have to be a very, very, very big balas madrega, bal madrega to have simcha, because what you want more than anything in life, you don't have. And when a person feels that what he wants, what she wants, is missing, so then you can't have simcha. Huchash shemashu eina kishura. When a person feels something is not the way it's supposed to be, you lose your simcha. Something is not the way it's supposed to be. How come these girls got shiduchim, they went out on dates. My child is so much smarter. So much prettier, so much kinder, and so on, and we come from such a better family, b'chulu b'chulu, how could it be such a mitzvah? And a person begins to have tainus, and has all kinds of tefillahs against the shadchanim, against the families, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chulu. And the bottom line is that a person feels that something is lo b'seder. And if something is not beseder, if something is not the way it's supposed to be, then you can't feel simcha. You can't feel joy. Ulam, mishachai be'amunah be'emes, when a person lives be'amunah be'emes, not just theoretically and intellectually, when a person lives be'amunah, ein keze musag mashu lo beseder. There is no such musag, it doesn't exist. That what? That mashu is lo beseder, that something is not the way it's supposed to be. Now, then he's going to, we're going to talk about this a little bit here and much more later on. In tefillah, then why should I daven for anything? We'll see, we'll talk about that more. But the emes is, Ein kezeh musag mashu lo yibesed. There is no such concept in reality that there is something that is not the way it's supposed to be. Ein kezeh musag mashu chaser. There is no musag. There is no such reality, there's no such concept that something is wrong or something is missing. Kol ma sheyesh, but kol ma shekayreli, hakol mimeni yisbarach shvay, b'meduyak. Everything that is and everything that is happening to me is exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. V'akol mamish l'tayva, and everything is mamish l'tayva, is good. V'zeh b'diyuk ma shani tzarech, and it's exactly what I need. U'ma shayach etzev, and what shaychus is there to be sad? If I have exactly what I need, then what point is there to being sad? There's nothing at all that is missing. And it's that feeling of lack, or that feeling that something is not beseder, that takes away my simcha. So, is that whole hergish, that something is not the way that it's supposed to be, we're talking about gashmis, and ruchnis we'll talk about in a minute, but in physical things, that something is not the way that it's supposed to be, that entire hergish is based upon a tragic mistake. because there is no such musik, he says, that something is not the way it's supposed to be. It's bidiyuk the way it's supposed to be. U'mashayach etzev, imesh limash nitzorach bidiyuk, v'lo chosel lidover, bli emuna, without emuna, nir l'adam shechosel limashu, it always seems that there's something we don't have. There always seems to be something that's wrong, that's not right, that's missing. Hu tzarech ve'emo. I need something, and I don't have it. Ulam, however, im emuna, if a person lives with emuna, ha'adam meivin umagish, says it bidiyuk mashni tzarech. Then he knows and he feels, not just intellectually, she's a bidiyuk mashani tzarech, it's exactly what I need. Lo pachos v'lo yoser, not less and not more. Now, this is a very important parenthesis, and it doesn't fully explain the inyan. There's another sefer that this tzaddik wrote called Sefer Ha'emunah, and in there he talks about this much more. But here he brings it up. Ve'ein zeh soiser, look at the parentheses. Ve'ein zeh soiser l'tfila. This, what we just learned, does not contradict the whole inyan of davening. L'chaira, davening is always based, I mean, that aspect, I'm not talking about the aspect of davening where we thank Hashem. I'm talking about the part of davening where we ask for things, which is a major part of davening. Bakoshes tzarchav is a major part of davening, asking for things. The whole middle section of Shemoneh Esrei, which is the largest section, that middle section of Shemoneh Esrei consists of asking for slicha, for mechila, okay, that's spiritual, but refuah, and for panasa, the same bracha pnei. Bakoshes tzarchav, Reb Tzadik says that the yisoid of tefillah is that hergish that a person has that he's missing something, and that there's only one who could actually give me what I'm missing. The whole ability to daven comes from a sense of lack that can be filled only by the master of the world. So we turn to him. So when we say, Rifa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa, we're saying, Rabbi Shalom, there is something missing, God forbid, in my health or my friend's health or my child's health, chalila, my parents' health. There's something that's missing. And I know that you're the one who's Rifa'i Chayle Ami Yisrael. And Kel Neman Rachman Ato, that you're Rifa Neman Rachman, that you're the one who heals. So Tzaddik says that the whole yisoid of tefillah is feeling one's poverty. That's why David HaMelech says, tefillah la'ani, the tefillah of the poor man. A person who feels that he has everything doesn't have to daven for anything. He has everything. What does he need? He's not asking for anything. So the yisoid of tefillah is an awareness of one's poverty. In other words, acknowledging that I don't have certain things and that I'm asking you for these things. On the other hand, we're just learning now that it can be, the whole musag, that whole concept that there's something that's not the way it's supposed to be is a mistake. So abazai, if that's the case, then a person should say, if that friend of mine is not well, Stama, that's the way it's supposed to be. Can't be that it's wrong. It must be that that's the Ratzon Hashem, that person go through that. And if this person doesn't have Parnasa, God forbid, or doesn't have a Shidduch, so must be that that's the Ratzon Hashem. Because we just learned that there's no Musag, that something is not Poseidon. So this would seem to contradict the whole Yisoid of Tefillah, of Davening, which is based upon asking. And asking means I sense that there's something that I don't have that I need. So in the parentheses, he just writes here, we'll do more on this inyan when we talk about tefillah, which is the next section coming up soon. Ein zeh soiser l'tefillah. What we're learning here does not contradict at all the inyan of davening. L'espalo l'kadosh baruch hu sheyitein le'davar, you daven to Hashem baruch to give you something. Ki gam b'tefillah, because when you daven, Tzuris ha'tefillah hu b'loshon t'nai. Our way of davening is always with the loshon, with the terminology of t'nai. Of t'nai means condition, which means what? Im. If. In other words, Rebbeinu Shlomo, im goluy v'yadu lefanech sh'davar pleni tayvli. Rebbeinu Shlomo, if it is known to you that this is something which is good for me, this table is good for me, if it's something which you know, if this zivik is good for me or for my child, if this job opportunity, is kedai, is good. If it's goli viadula fenachas darkani tayvli, ana titenli oisai. So why do I have to ask for it? If, in other words, if it's good, then the Baruch Shalom will do it. The Teretz is, and this we'll talk more about, is the Baruch Shalom gave us the inyan of tefillah, that through that exercise of tefillah, we recognize more and more how dependent we are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that strengthens our emunah. And we make ourselves into kelim, into vessels that are worthy of Hashem's bracha. In other words, the same way, if on Rosh Hashanah, the Baruch Shalom already paskened up what's going to be with each of us during the year, right? So, let's say it depends on our davening Rosh Hashanah, and we asked Tosfeinu B'Sefer Chaim, and we went through all the Avinu Malkeinus and everything we asked for, and so on. So what's the tachas of davening the rest of the year? It should be that there should be one day, let's say, one day a year, where it's davening day. And Rosh Hashanah, we'd be finished, like the Gemara says. Mizanais l'shaladam, how much a person eats that year, meaning the person's panasa, is already ksuv milay. It's already been set up for Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Those days for Rosh Hashanah. So let's say that period of time, of those 10 days, should be the 10 days of davening and asking. The Gemara says, kol mizanais l'shaladam ksuv milay, that all you're going to have during the year has been set up Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So then what's the inyan of davening? Three times a day, or as many times as you daven, the same bracha. What does all of that mean? And in the Sfar HaKadosh, the Tzemach Tzedek Sulseh, you know, talks about this in Derech Mitzvah Sech, this is all this, it's from his grandfather, from Altarev, from Altan, you saw all the Sfar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in such a way where he has, for each and every one of us, depending on Rosh Hashanah Kippur at that time, there's a certain mitzias that is established, and throughout tefillah we draw it down from level to level to level till it becomes part of our reality. So there could be something, there could be, let's say, refuah that exists on a higher spiritual level, but throughout tefillah Hashem made it that throughout tefillah we're able to draw that refuah down through many, many worlds and many levels till it becomes a mamish refuah that the temperature goes down from 103 to 98.6. And that whole ma'aracha, that whole system of worlds, and how through our avodah and through our tefillahs, Hashem Yisbarach wanted that we should make ourselves into kelim that are able to receive His brachas. This is a very big subject in Torah, which we really didn't discuss growing up in school, and it's in Pnimius of Torah. It's the inner point of Torah. There is such a thing, as you all know, where there's a level of Amunah that is so high where davening is bechlal not necessary. Can any of you remember such a case in Chumash? I'm sure you all know. When was there such a thing in Chumash where the Baruch Shalom told us, don't daven? Where was that? By Kriyas Yamsuf. By Yamsuf. So we were davening, and Hashem's Baruch said, Ma titzak alai, look, what are you davening? Daven ben yisol v'yisol. Tell him to go. So all the Svarim are asking of them, Matitz, what do you mean? He told us that we're supposed to daven when we need something. So Chazal tell us that at that time when we were standing by Yamsuf, there was a revelation of a certain midah that's called Atik Yoimen, the ancient, the holy ancient one. It's a big inyan in Kabbalah. But there was a revelation of that Nakuda that's higher than Tefillah, and Muna is higher than Tefillah. In other words, there is such a Bechina of Amunah, there is such a level of Amunah, but where davening is doesn't mean anything. Where davening is not necessary. But it's a very, 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 very big thing. And why it was revealed Davka over there by Yamsuf is not for now. That's why it says over there. That's why it says in Pasuk, Va'atem Tacharishim. Hashem Yilachem Lachem, right? Hashem will fight the war for you. We'll fight your battle for Atem Tacharishim, and you'll be silent. Since when are Jews silent? The whole union of a Jew is the daven. The word davening means da'avuhun. Davening is the word davun, which means from the Zaydis, from our fathers. Da'avun. As Rashi says over there, Tafs umnas avaisim, that they took up the craftsmanship of what? Of their fathers. That we know that the others, that when they used to daven. That's what the word it means, daven. Davun. From the in Aramaic, avun means the fathers. So that's what we're supposed to do. And there, Hashem is Baruch revealed. Hashem is Baruch revealed such a midah, Hashem yilachim lachem, Hashem will take care of it. Vatan tacharishim. Still, you don't have to say anything. There's no need to talk. And there is such a high level of amunah with tefillah b'chalal is not shaykh. Only tefillah is with giving thanks and so on. But to ask, in other words, if we would be in a madrega where we would feel absolutely, absolutely, with total clarity, that highest level of amunah, if we could reach that, then perhaps, again, I'm not going into it, I can ask a question, how come they always talk a daven, how come this one daven, that one, and how come they taught us how to daven? But there is such a bechina, there is such a madrega, such a level, that's called the level of yediyah, of absolute clarity and knowledge, where tefillah is not necessary. But that's not the average, normal way, and that's not something that we're going to talk about, because we're not holding on that madrega. But what he's saying here is that all of our tefillahs are in such a way where we say, Rabbi Shalom, if you know that this is something, if it's clear to you, and you know that this is good for you, good for me, I'm sorry, so then, ana titen li aisa, that I'm making myself into a kli through my turning to you, that I should be a receptacle and a vessel to receive that as soon as possible, to receive it, if it's good for me, tak, it should be in a good way. Hareinu Hashem chazdecha v'yeshacha titen lana. Everything is good, but Hareinu Hashem chazdecha. But show me, and let me have this good. Ulaylam loy b'lashon muchlat. We never say it in an absolute way. Give this to me. I must have this. V'avein ma'id. There is, however, as he says the next sentence, there is a type of davening where we must say, and we're entitled, privileged, and we should say, b'lashon muchlat, in an absolute way. What's that? Raktfila lihinatzal mi'isa. A person should never say, Rav Shalom, if it's right and good to you that I shouldn't steal, then help me not to have the yetzar to steal. That's not what you say. There, when it comes to an isa, when it comes to being saved from an avera, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, there a Jew has to speak in a very strong way, a very, very stark way, with the lashon muchla, because there Hashem is Baruch revealed clearly that it's His ratzon. We know that Hashem does not want us to take money that doesn't belong to us, or to be nichshel in any isa, not a deraisa, not from the Torah, and not nisa d'rabbanan, and not to even, God forbid, when it comes to a minig that we shouldn't do properly. So when it comes to something in Rochni, it's something spiritual. There, a person is empowered to speak to Hashem Azbarach in a lashon muchlat, and that with assertiveness and certainty. And that's why I mentioned last week that the tzaddikim have taught that when you daven for something tak in Rochnis and you're persistent, it can't be that it won't go right. It can't be. There's no such thing that if you daven it in Rochnis, be'emes, and persistently, it might go, you might have to do it for months or for years. But it can't be that the tefillah won't be answered in Dvar Ruchniyim. In Gashmiyim, we don't know. A person doesn't know. So therefore a person has to say, in Taiv Beinecha, if this is your will. And that's what it means, in Bechlal, we don't have time to go right now into the meaning of Yehi Ratzon. What does it mean, may it be your will, Hashem? What does that mean, Yehi Ratzon? But what he's saying here is just an introduction to a very, very big inyan in Torah. But that even though there's no musud, there's no concept of something being not right, afal pichein, Hashem Baruch wants us to daven. That's His ratzon. And part of being a mamin, I shouldn't say part, one of the most essential things of being a mamin is to be able to accept this contradiction and to believe, despite the fact that there seems to be a contradiction, as we know, between Yediyah and Bechira. Hashem knowing what's going to be. It's the same problem with Hashem knows what's going to be, and yet I have free choice. Hashem knowing what's going to be takes away from me any will to daven. If Hashem knows what's going to be, what am I talking to Him about? So Hashem's knowledge tells me there's no point in davening. On the other hand, He told me that I have free choice. And free choice implies that I have somehow I have some influence over things, that I am tzaddik as goyzik, as rosh makayim, and tefillahs work, and you know, and there's a point to my davening. So how do I reconcile these two? There's only one way to reconcile that, and that's with Emunah. That the Baruch Shalom, the whole Yisayt of Emunah is living with contradictions and having that Emunah, that both are absolutely true. In physics, that can't be, right? It can't be that 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 1 plus 1 equals 3. There can't be such a thing. But in Emunah, the Yisayt of Emunah is accepting and believing in two opposites. And that's what it means, that Emunah is higher than the whole machlokes of Yediyah and Bechir, God's knowledge and man's free choice. Emunah takes away the kasha. It's not a kasha in the world of Emunah. In the world of Emunah, these two contradictory things are fused together in the heart of a mammon. That, well, I understand that I could cry over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, I could cry over the loss of life and tzaras of Jewish people, and at the same time, I could believe 1,000,000% that everything the Baruch Shalom does is good. And there is no rational way to eliminate the stira, to eliminate the contradiction. David HaMelech says, and we say this in Davening all the time, Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, Hashem dwells in a transcendent hiddenness. The tzaddikim say, Yoshev, the only way that a Jew can have Yishuv Hadas, the only way that a Jew can not make himself crazy, Yoshev, that he could live in a way of Yishuv, of settledness, I don't think there's any word like that, we'll make it up. The only way that a person can live that way is if he accepts that there's Seser Elyon, that these contradictions, the word Seser means hidden and it means Stirais, contradictions. Elyon means it comes from a high place, and in a high place, above this world, there's no contradiction at all. Is Yoshev, is only when a person lives with their Emunah in Seser Elyon. So the Ratzon Hashem is that we daven. The Ratzon Hashem is that we hurt when other people are in pain, and that we cry out to Hashem Zbarach. And at the same time, the Ratzon Hashem is that we trust that He is doing what's best for each and every one of us. Without Emunah, a person can never ever go on with these kashas. With Emunah, these are not, it's not a kasha, it's not a contradiction. So it's one of the most difficult things to come to that madriga, and we're going to talk more about it. But this is all when we're talking about things of this world, when we're talking about Dvorim Ruchniyim, where Hashem has revealed that he never wants us to violate, to be over this is or that is, or to do an aveira, and He wants us to always overcome that and to be strong. So there, a person can daven b'loshen muchlat. It's not, in other words, with certainty. And he can be very, very strong and confident and assertive when it comes to tefillahs and ruchnis. Of course, that's not usually the things that we're davening for. But in that area, davening is something which can't fail. When it comes to dvarim gashmim, physical things, things of this world, so there, already our tefillahs are set up in such a way where it's all with this hergish of if it be your will, and halavai it should be your will. I know this is something which I feel is important to me. If this is what I should have, Baruch Shalom, then give it to me. If this is something that I shouldn't have, then Baruch Shalom, help me to get over this. Help me to feel that this is not right. I had a conversation Erev Shabbos, I was driving, and I had a conversation. There's a wonderful, wonderful chashuva talmida of mine from years ago, that she was going out with a boy who was schlepping out for 6 months. And it was just, they were all like different inyanim. And the boy was also my talmid, and I really was very much involved in trying to make the connection. And then all of a sudden, he was talking to some professional who told him that you're not ready to get married and that you're mixed up and so on. And I told him that he was mixed up 5 years ago and 10 years ago, but now he paid to hear that he was mixed up. So, but he's a wonderful boy. But he was now told that he can't go on with this relationship. Which I'm saying, I think he can. It needs a little bit of a patch and a little bit of some tikkun. But okay, I'm not a professional. Stop. So anyway, you understand the girl is totally, totally tzibracha. Totally tzibracha. And it was schlepping out, and all along he was saying, no, it's wonderful, I just need a little bit more time, and it's this and that, and different yonim, whatever. And now she's totally tzibrochim. So I was on the phone with her on Erev Shabbos, and I felt very, very bad for her. And she started the conversation, she said, Rabbi, I believe 1,000,000% that Hashem is doing what's best for me. But I can't stop crying, and I don't know how I'm ever going to get over this subject. I'm never going to get over this. So I said, let's talk about your first sentence a little bit more, and then we'll talk about the other stuff. You said that you believe 1,000,000% that this is best for you. Now, of course, it's easy for me to say. I'm just driving on the Belt Parkway or something, and I'm not. I didn't go through what she went through, and everything is fine by me, Baruch Hashem, and she has this terrible loss. But for us to live with that, with the words that we say, we always say, but, right, of course I believe 1,000,000% that the Baruch Shalom is doing what's best. And I spent a half hour talking to her already about some things that you could think about, how it's taka like this or like that. And I was already having certain sfeikas where this was going, that's the truth. But I was hoping it would work out. But anyway, That comma that we always make, and then we put in parentheses after we say I believe in Hashem 90% He's doing what's best, however or but in my situation or under these circumstances, and then those three dots that follow come together with unbelievable agnes nefesh, and all of the aggravation, all of our inability to feel simcha in life, always come after this sweet little introduction of how I believe in 90%, however. If for somebody who believes 1,000,000%, then why are you having so much agnes nefesh? How come you can't accept it? Say, we're not judging anybody, and everybody should only have good things. But that's where our atzvus, our sadness, comes from, because the first sentence that we say is we don't live with that sentence; we just think about it. But we live with the absence of the thing that we felt we needed, and it's chosedly and it's missing, and I was supposed to have this. This was supposed to be my husband. This was supposed to be what I was going to have now, and I was dreaming up, you know, all different wonderful things in the future, chasn, and so on. It's terribly, terribly disappointing. We shouldn't be disappointed, but that's the mitzvahs of there is no such thing after la'acha ma'isa. There's no such thing to say that something is shalei b'seiv. The problem is, of course, how much do we daven for something, and how do we cry out for something and beg for something, unless we feel that we could mamish make a big difference, and there is no contradiction, especially when it comes to what another person is going through, that we have to daven and we have to cry out and to ask very, very strongly, and to believe 1,000,000% that it's possible to make a difference, especially if what we're davening for is connected to Dvar Ruchnim, to something spiritual. If that person who's davening, who wants very, very badly to have a zivug, wants to get married, if he or she lifts his or her thoughts up to a high place of what's the tachlis of getting married, and not just because I should you know, be married and whatever that means in the secular world, but because of taka having a Jewish family and being ma'abek kalit shemayim. In other words, to make to lift up one's davening, to make it a ruchnis dikibakosh. In other words, that even though it's something physical, it's only in the mizgeris, it's a spiritual thing that's in the framework of a physical reality, but what I'm asking for is something which is deeply spiritual and is deeply connected to doing Hashem's will. Those tefillahs are also much, much more powerful, and those tefillahs one can say with much greater confidence and with more assertiveness. But the inyan of how tefillah works in this bigger picture of there's no such thing as something that's missing in my life. Certainly after something doesn't work out, we realize that we have to throw our hands up and surrender. But what he's saying is that during something as well, we have to know that to live with this belief that there's no such thing that something is missing or something is not right. Yeah.
I would maybe add that there is a recognition on the part of halacha that there is sadness that comes with loss, Sure. Yes, there are laws of mourning, but then Halacha says
Adkan.
Right.
Because Hashem Baruch wants us to be. Hashem Baruch does not want us, God forbid, to be unfeeling, uncaring, and stoic. Hashem Baruch wants us to feel the pain of loss, and that's why you're 100% right. That's why Hashem Baruch mandated a period of avelus. But the same Rebbeinu who mandated a period of avelus said that's how we do it. We have the period of Adninus before the burial, then you have the period of Shiva, Lo Aleinu, then you have Shleishim, and you have, depending upon who is Nifta, you have a year, you have 11 months, 12 months, and then there's a Yahrzeit and Mizah. And that means that it seems to us to be a very bizarre thing. Who are you, in all due respect, as I was about to tell me how intensely I should feel this or not feel this? And Bechlal, how do we understand the nature of the halachas of Avelis? Who has such a concept? Only Klal Yisrael has such an inyan. To have a whole complicated section of Shulchan Aruch that's called Hilchas Avelis. To be masik that at all. Somebody came to ask Rav Shach in the 9 days about whether or not, because it's hot in Bnei Brak and he feels very uncomfortable, could he take a shower, but he's very particular and it can't be cold. You know, these shaylos. So could it be a little bit warm? You know, Bnei Brak, Tisha B'Av is hotter than here, you know? So could I take such a shower? So Rav Shach said, you know, I never had a person in the middle of Shiva come to ask me such a question about it, whether he could do that during Shiva. That's what Rav Shach said. What's the chilek? During Shiva, a person wouldn't think of that. If it's your own personal loss and it touches your heart, you wouldn't think of going to ask whether or not during Shiva, over a parent, God forbid, you could take a shower. But, you know, Churban Beis HaMikdash, you know, millions of people dying over the years and stuff like that. It's Mazen Ogeya Li. How does it affect me? And Hashem Baruch gave us halachas at this time of the year. He wants us to be affected. And he wants us to feel that. And it's not a game. It's not some sort of a little game. Milchis and fleishis. And where they have, you know, again, I don't mean to say anything derogatory about Jews, but because I know that the people make a parnasa from these inyanim. But I have no stomach for all these new kind of tapes that they make that without the instruments and so on. And I don't mean chalil against any of the people who are doing it, because they mistama, they're doing it with toiv and they have good l'shem shemaim. The people who are producing it, maybe not so much, but the people, there's a lot of l'shem shemaim that's in it. But all of these kunsim that can't give the Baruch Shalom nachas ruach, it can't be. I don't believe it. All is a kunsum that a person also would not come to listen to a niggin like that during Shiva, would he? I forgot what it's called, that music. Acapella. Yeah. A person wouldn't listen to that during Shiva. So how come it's okay during the 3 weeks and during the 9 days? And the Torah says, Chod Nisam Mikdash Chan Altamais. It's an Altamais. The Baruch Shalom wants us to be Bale Hergish. He wants us to feel. He wants us to cry. He wants us to cry over a loss and to feel the pain of loss, and yet at the same time he wants that the other side of the heart should be filled with an emunah that kol ma da'or rachmana is latav, and certainly that everything is good. And certainly the same Rabbi Akiva who said kol ma da'or rachmana latav, Rabbi Akiva is the one who first said that sentence that everything that God does is for the best. Should we imagine that when Rabbi Akiva lost his students, he didn't cry? And when he lost his own family members, he didn't cry, he didn't mourn? The same Rabbi Akiva, who when his life was in danger, he said, and the candle went out, another whole mice. So he said, come out of it, it's always for the good. And do you think that Nachum Ish Gamzu, who was even a high madrega, Gamzu L'Taiva? Do you think that when he went to, when they told him that Mr. So-and-so down the block just died and left an almana with 10 children, that Nachum Ish Gamzu went and said, Gamzu L'Taiva? Till Mashiach comes, we're not on such a madrega, even Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu, like anybody, any Jew that would hear Yiddish Tzaris, took Kriya and was crying and went to be Menachem Oval and spoke about and recognized the loss. Does that mean that the Tzaddikim are lacking in Emunah that what? That it can't be something that's wrong. It can't be something that's not right. It can't be something that's shalom b'seder. And if a person lives with that, then he's always b'simcha. So that some of you might recall, I mention always this time of the year, how the Kodnever, the big Sadi, the Kodnever was dancing on Tisha B'Av, and they asked him, And the Chassidim asked him, how is it possible to was dancing on Tisha B'Av? He started to do a Rikud on Tisha B'Av. So he said, there's a mitzvah to mourn on Tisha B'Av, and a Jew has to be Mekayim the mitzvah B'Simcha. What does that mean? But there's a mitzvah to mourn on Tisha B'Av, and one has to mourn B'Simcha. So to small people, it can't be. It's either this or that. In the world of the Ma'amin, it's not a contradiction. And it's very hard, or impossible probably, to explain that. Only when a person is in that place, it's not a contradiction. That's why, even though there's little parentheses here, it doesn't suffice to remove from our hearts the contradiction. Still, it's not a contradiction. It's just a bechina of emunah that we as we work on that, then we'll come to understand. We'll do one more. Just let's do for 5 minutes. Do Yudalid. Eich kainim is midas ha-simcha. How does one acquire this midah of simcha, of joy? Simcha is something you have to. Ivdu is Hashem b'simcha. What does it mean? Ivdu is Hashem b'simcha. It means you have to work to be b'simcha. Ivdu is Hashem b'simcha. Everybody thinks it means it's just a nice thing to sing. Ivdu is Hashem b'simcha. That we serve Hashem in joy. The tzaddikim say Ivdu is Hashem b'simcha means it's an avodah to be b'simcha. It's one of the hardest avodahs in the world to be b'simcha. Ivdu is Hashem. You have to work very hard for Hashem to be b'simcha. It's an avodah to be b'simcha. So eich kainim is midas ha-simcha. How does one acquire this midah of simcha? Simcha is a midah. It's not a mood. By the goyim, it's a mood. I'm in a bad mood. Why do you do that? I'm in a bad mood. Why are you going, I'm in a bad mood? It, like it happens. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a good mood. Simcha is an avodah. It's a midah. Simcha is a midah. We spoke about simcha a couple of years ago. Simcha is a midah. And the Baruch Shalom wants us to work on our midahs. So eich kainim is midas ha-simcha b'chal tzar or mach'ayv sheyesh l'adam, any tzar, God forbid, or any pain that a person has, any anguish or pain, ala adam la'atzer is atzmai, a person has to stop. Just stop that flow of negative emotions and of negative feelings and hurtful feelings. U'ladaber im harbayin shalom, and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi osa li'as ha-tzar hazeh, who caused this tzar? Ultimately, I mean, there might be something else in between, but who caused this tzar? Atar b'rishlam b'chvayit v'atzmacha. You b'rishlam. You yourself. Zetayv li aloi. Is this good for me or not? Vadash is zetayv. Im atar, he says, if you did this, kol ma'asecha him hatava gemura, the side of being a Jew is to believe that everything that the b'rishlam does is hatava gemura mamish. Elamai, the Baruch Shalom, I'm Ilamevin Zeis. I don't understand how this could be good. The Loi Margis Zeis, I don't feel that it's good. I'm the Margis Ksas Tzar, I feel some anguish. The Seichel and Yedesh is a Taiv. Intellectually, I know that it's good. I know that it's for my good. Kiata Oiserak Taiv, because the beginning of my Amun is that everything you do is good. Ulam Beregish, my emotions, I'm the Margis Ksas Lahepach. I feel it's a little the opposite. She says, Ira, this is bad. On the tazalish argish is a taif. Please, Rabbi Shalom, help me to feel that this is good. V'kach yischanin zman rav. That doesn't mean you can't miss a person who passed away, and you can't have great, deep, nostalgic feelings and memories that awaken within you a tremendous longing to have another minute with that person. But it doesn't in any way, God forbid, shake one's amunah. Or to think that it's not toiv. Kach yischanin zman rav, to daven a lot. She yizke lahargish is a toiv, to feel that this is good. V'yarech, when he says v'yarech, v'yarech b'zayist, to speak a lot about this, Tashem Zbarach, at sheyargish shelibay nirga. Until you feel that your heart has calmed down somewhat. There are some souls, there are some Jews who it doesn't work if they just say this once or twice. They have to say a lot, a lot, a lot. Rabbanu Shalom, an yodesh is a toiv, an yodesh is a toiv. Ad asher adov en nikva, believe until Mamash sinks in. Saif dover. The ikur here is to absorb this nakuda, this point. And every feeling of pain or anguish. Shiyesh l'odam yatzer, stop yourself from letting go and letting your emotions just take over. Stop yourself. V'yidabir makadosh baruch hu, and speak to Hashem. Reish is divrei emunah, words of faith. Shani yadeish is emimcho yisbaruch shemcha, I know this is from you, Hashem. V'sheini is a l'tayva b'vaday, and second it's l'tayva b'vaday. Or if you're not holding by that, then it should be in a tzura of davening. I should be zeichet to feel this. Or in a tzura of amira, the shechosh ragu, until you begin to calm down. Or ma'amin, until your faith is strengthened, v'sameach, and you'll be able to feel joy. Rak oz yochol odam liskais l'simcha amitis. This is the only way that a person can be zeichet to choose simcha, a simcha that doesn't depend upon things going your way. That's no chokhmah. Everything's going your way, that's gevaldi. That's not the avoida of simcha. The avoida of simcha is when it's not going your way. And this is the only way that a person can be zeichet to simcha amitis, kikasha ein tsar machoiv agnes nefesh, as I have nefesh betivas mecha. If there's nothing going wrong, then naturally a person's happy. Unless God forbid he's not, you know, something, a person's not well, chalil, emotionally. But if something's going, something is good, so a person's besimcha. Vein mi she'afriyel amekach. Nobody's staring your simcha, nobody's bothering your simcha, nobody's disrupting you, everything is good. So what should be? Klaimer, tivish l'hanefesh l'smayach. The nature of the soul is to rejoice, like children. Children are always happy. The Briskorov once, but you know, the Briskorov is not known as someone that was like, you know, the laughing type. And somebody once came to see the Briskorov and was talking to the Briskorov, and the Briskorov's enikla, his grandchildren were making a tumult. See? Not even the Briskorov's grandchildren make noise. So the grandchildren were making a tumult, and this Rav that came to speak to the Briskorov was getting very, very annoyed, and he said, still, you know, enough for the children. So the Briskorov said to him, you should know that it's the natural teva of each and every Jew to be completely besimcha, like a child. It's the natural state of a Jew to be besimcha. And only because of what's happened to us as we've grown up, and our avarice, and our problems, and our faults, and our expectations, and disappointments, that we're not the way that we should be, and leave the children alone. They have still more time till they stop having the simcha, till they can no longer feel the simcha of life. Let them have some more time. Now it ends very quickly for children, the simcha. But that children, the sweetest thing you ever see, how child, the little ones, they run to everything. Just to, like, you know, they just run. Even though there's like nothing important going on, they run. But the simcha that a child has and his slavas that a child has, that we lose. Since the teva of the nefesh is mach elamai, hagoshes v'choser, all of the loss of simcha comes from this feeling of there's something that I don't have. There's something that's missing. That's how the children start to lose their simcha. That's why the children who are raised in the simplest way, who feel that they have the least to lose, are generally the happiest children on the earth. Children have not become happier by gaining more things. My father describes to me the simcha they had as kids when he was a child and they had nothing. And now, because the kids have so many things, and if they don't have what they think their quota is of having, the simcha goes very, very quickly. When a child doesn't expect to have much and he doesn't see that others have much and they're only very, very simple things, then there's gewaldige simcha. Now for the, this is a beginning, it's a good thing it's 10 after 10, if I would get started on this, it would be a very, very beginning. But now the hergish that children have, and then not only little children, when they get married, it's kumtzimir, and if it doesn't work out the way that you think it's going to work out, that little girl who in seminary heard 1,000 shmuzen about the moon and so on, and she said she only wants to marry a guy that's like this and a guy that's like that, in Metzius, if her friend has and she doesn't have, and if it's like this and it's not the way it's supposed to be, and that so that to be able to be besimcha, it's becoming much, much harder than ever before to be besimcha. Which one would say, it seems strange. Adarabba, never before has life been as good for Jews to a large extent, plenty of tzaras, but to a large extent, it's never been as good as now. And yet, it's probably safe to say that never have there been so many depressed, said, it's a whole field of medicine. Child psychology, I mean, talking about millions of children that are on medication. Millions of children that are on medication. It's true that years ago, some people needed that as well. But I don't believe that, not like the numbers we have now, where a child's world falls apart over things that are b'chlal not what make up one's world, and not the mitzias of one's world, and how many you have young mothers that they got married and they wanted to be able to have a pretty little child and to take pictures and to hang up on the wall and to show off in shul, but they don't want to actually parent. They don't want to be parents. And they don't want to deal with the ups and downs and the disappointments, especially if your kid is not such a good student and the kid is not so pretty and the kid is not like this or like that. And that child's life was she thought the same way that she always pressed buttons on this machine and that machine, that she's going to press for the pretty smart, skinny kid. And then it didn't come out like that. Oh, boy. It's very hard to have simcha nowadays when you expect so much. Our Zaydis and Babis expected nothing. And everything that they had was simple, and they had gewaldige simcha that they were able to feel from the smallest little things in the world. And now it's becoming very, very hard to feel that. So he says, and all of that comes from hagoshes achoser, that there's something missing. And there's something holding back, that's being held back from me, that I want, that I need. And that's why I can't feel besimcha. Why don't you feel besimcha? You have to live in this way, you have to live in this place, you don't have this, you don't have that. All of that is from a feeling that I don't have what I'm supposed to have. It's not the way for me that it's supposed to be for me. L'kasha ha-goshes, eilu einim kayomim. Ein mi she'afriel esimchosa ha-tivis shel neshamu. And you don't have these negative feelings, meaning when you don't have these feelings of missing or lacking or it's not the way it's supposed to be, then there's nothing in the world that will disrupt or obstruct the natural flow of the joy of the soul. The soul rejoices naturally. The only time is when there's an unnatural hergish of something is not the way it's supposed to be, that interrupts the natural healthy flow of joy that a person should have. When a person doesn't have that disruption, if he doesn't have that thought, so the natural simcha of a child will remain intact. As we grow up into adults, it will remain in its place. Of course, it's a big avoid. There's avoid of simcha. But the yisoid of the avoid of simcha is emunah. There can't be simcha without emunah. Okay, Be'ez HaShem, we'll continue next week.